Do you love great podcasts? Do you love great Australian podcasts? Of course you do. Australians make incredible podcasts. And if you want to stay up to date with the best Australian shows, then check out Oz Podcasts. Look for us on social media and find your new favourite show from the Australian podcast directory on ozpodcast.com.au. That's OZPODCASTS, ozpodcast.com.au. Check it out.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 295 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 28th of June 2014. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. You can also follow us at Tech Webcast on Twitter. Your hosts today are Brad, Steve, Jacob, Keith from the new Chat Center app, and myself, Andrew. And our very special guest today is Penny Wells from 4x4 Show Top of Down Under. G'day, Brad. How are you doing this
morning? G'day, Andrew. How are you, mate? Happy afternoon,
yeah, very
to you.
Well, thanks. Yeah, afternoon, actually.
Afternoon.
I'm doing good, doing good.
And you can see Andrew in this video version holding his microphone.
I am. It's on my to-do list, Brad. I do need to get a microphone.
Yes, you do.
Stand.
You do. It's all good, mate, as long as it works.
Absolutely. We get there in the end.
Exactly, mate. How's your week been?
Yeah, pretty good. Nothing overly interesting. Just been working away and, running around with the baby in the house, but everything is pretty good. I went to the footy last night. My team lost.
Oh, no. But, yes, I've seen that.
Nah, it happens. It was a good match.
It was a close match, wasn't it? Pretty close, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a really close match. Yeah. So it was good. Had a beer there and enjoyed my time. So it was a lot of fun.
So as you would have heard in the beginning there, we have a new intro from Dylan Lewis, Andrew.
Yeah, we did. And Dylan Lewis, during the week, put some time in and was very nice enough to go through and make a new intro, which we absolutely loved.
Yes.
So you can check Dylan Lewis out online. He's all over the place. He's much-known Australian, I guess, news media performer, celebrity, radio co-host, comedian, whichever way you want to run it. So
plays in bands, used to play in two bands, and used to be on TV and recovery.
Yeah, good friend of the show.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. He's been on the show a few times, and he's a cool dude.
And Brad, I've got a competition for the listeners. What could Andrew do to make that mic stand up on its own without buying a stand? Something you could do right now using regular household utensils.
Really?
There you go. So let's get all MacGyver on that one, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And also we got Keith T. That's Keith T. Welcome, Keith. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. I seen you on the Gilmore Gang this morning. I was awake at 7 a.m. and watching that.
That was a good Gilmore Gang. You know, Benedict Evans from Andreessen Horowitz is starting to appear on it now. And Dan Farber was on it, who's always awesome.
Nice.
It was a really good show.
Cool, cool. So what do you guys do before the show? What do you do?
We don't do anything.
Really?
Steve calls us about 1 minute before we go live, and he's usually screaming at Tina to press some buttons on the console.
Okay.
And then he says, okay, we're good. We're going live.
Okay.
Press record.
Okay, nice.
We're online about 15 minutes before we go live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You guys milk the green room experience.
Yeah, we do. We always chat before the show, don't we, Andrew? We always chat and stuff.
Exactly. I want those blue M&Ms and Evian water.
We've got Jacob on. Welcome, Jacob. How are you, mate?
I am pretty darn good, Brad.
And how's your week been, mate? And you want to report on anything?
Nothing, really.
Okay. All right. We got Steve on. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? I'm very popular on my Justin TV channel, not so much everywhere else. But okay. Anyway, it's real nice to be in the show today, and I'm looking forward to seeing Penny Wells.
Yes, I can't wait to chat with Penny Wells about her show, and sounds great show, by the way. It's on the Aurora channel on Foxtel. Steve, how's your week been?
Oh, just very busy. Didn't have much for my show before your show, but actually I just pulled stuff out that I wanted to talk about anyway.
Okay.
The Google I.O. Meeting, I think, and various other things, or okay. Keynote, excuse me.
Nice one. Jody and Jennifer are away today. Hopefully Jody will be back next week, and Jennifer's away in somewhere. I'm not sure where she's going to. We got Penny on. Welcome, Penny, from Top of Down Under.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here. Can't wait to have a chat.
Yeah, can't wait to talk about your show and, yeah.
Absolutely.
Andrew, do you want to get into some news now? Let's play this before you do that. Let's play this.
Thank you for that, Brad. So I'll be taking on the news today in the absence of Jody and Jennifer, so bear with me and we'll get straight into it. First story today is from The Verge, up close with the Moto 360. For those that don't know, it's a new, Android-based watch. So all of the big manufacturers are starting to look at coming out with smart watches and so forth. So the first thing is the Moto 360. It's saying it's not actually that big. It's quite solid. It's a high-end product. It's a very natural feel on your arm. It comes in a few different colors, each with a unique band. The black one apparently is a favorite of The Verge over there. And it has a large round screen that goes completely edge-to-edge with content, except for one very small cutout at the bottom. Obviously, Android users will really enjoy this, and we're pretty sure that the iPhone, Apple company, will have a watch very soon to follow. So it's sort of an interesting space at the moment, moving from handsets, you know, tablets and so forth into the watches. So we will keep an eye on that as news comes to hand. And the next story is also from The Verge, basically talking about iPhone or Android, it's time to choose your religion. So it's impossible for Google or Apple to introduce a new feature, let alone a whole revision to their mobile operating system, without it instantly being compared to the alternatives. The sparks that inflame heated discussion about who's got the better notifications or smarter multitasking come right from the top of both companies. So what we're getting at is, looking at all of the different devices, we're becoming very much locked into an iOS or Android sort of ecosystem. So as you buy the handset, you buy the watch, you start to buy the tablet, it's really feeling like you can't just have one of each these days. You're sort of locking yourself into one or the other. So it's an interesting read from The Verge. We recommend you jump on and have a look at it. Moving along now, and Apple TV gets ABC News, PBS Kids, and a brand spanking new Flickr app. So you would think that the steady stream of new Apple content would have slowed a trickle by now, but it's far from it. Apple has just delivered a handful of fresh channels, including the free ABC News service, PBS Kids, and the cricket-focused Willow TV. Flickr's app has also received a very long overdue revamp with a densely packed explore section, so you can see new and exciting, interesting things. And there's also an AOL channel, so you can watch all of your Engadget videos and other clips from around the technology world on that. So check that out. There's a bit happening in there, and we're really looking forward to hopefully seeing a new Apple TV platform in the future as well. But they're certainly bringing content to us, Brad, so that's fantastic. And we'll move to the next story, which is a game with The Verge. SoundCloud's new iPhone app is fast and fresh. So as we all know, SoundCloud is a fantastic platform for getting bites out, little interviews and so forth. And they're really attacking the space with a brand new app. So today SoundCloud launched a completely redesigned app for iPhone. It ditches recording functionality in favor of making listening as fast and as beautiful as possible. It's a huge update that finally brings SoundCloud up to date with its streaming music competitors and with the demands of its customers. 2/3 of SoundCloud listening now happens on mobile, so the company says, which is up half from 6 months ago. So that's a massive increase in people listening out on the go. Okay, so the new app is fast, fluid, focusing on a first stream of recently posted music and sound bits. So basically they're trying to get people to listen and consume content as quickly as possible after it's created. Things go so stale, I guess, in today's technology world. And the next story is from Gizmodo. Would you pay for ABC iView? So in Australia, the Abbott government's review into the efficiency of ABC and SBS, which for our American listeners are the two local, government-free channels, has made a curveball recommendation in its finding, suggesting that Australians should have to pay for the option of using iView to access archival TV shows and special content. Such a charge would boost funding for the public broadcaster, counterflagging its sales of DVDs and CDs in ABC stores. The ABC and SBS efficiency study announced at the end of January this year by Government Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull has been coordinated with Peter Lewis, formerly of the financial officer of Seven West Media. So they kind of ramble on for a bit longer, but at the end of the day, it's a free service and it's supplied by our government through our taxes. And so should we have to pay for it? What are our thoughts around, you know, paying a few dollars a subscription? That's an interesting one. It's an interesting one. I guess the people at the end of the day will make their choice on that one. And if not, we'll probably see the, you know, banners running through the city streets.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, ABC iView's been free for a long time, Andrew. And I think people may be a little bit mad because it's going to be paid, you know. You know, it's been free for a long time.
Look, there's an expectation that I have for the ABC in Australia, which, again, and SBS are the government-operated channels, that, you know, my taxes go into running that. So I certainly don't see why we should create a chain of command of those who can afford it, those who can't. It should really be a service.
Exactly. Yep.
So that's the news for today, Brad. I think you had five or six stories there.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Appreciate that. Appreciate you, Andrew, reading them stories out. Great job,
not
mate.
A problem at
very
all, mate.
Cool. Very cool.
So any opinions on those stories there, Brad?
The Apple TV one, that's a great update to Apple TV. The Flickr app's really nice. And the other apps there, which we can't get in Australia, they're in the US only. And Keith, what's your view on the Apple TV one? Have you been checking out the new apps at all?
Well, so there's a lot of new apps on the American one as well.
There is, yes.
The American ABC launched all of its live programming on Apple TV this week through an app, including ABC News. Also, ESPN, which is owned by ABC, put all the World Cup games on the Apple TV. So you can go and look at games live and the rest of the ESPN programming as well. The whole thing is live on Apple TV now. So it feels as if we're moving to a world where TV channels become apps and your TV just becomes a display for whatever the source of the app is. Could be Apple TV, could be a Roku box, could be Google. You know, the new Google TV that they announced at Google I.O. 2 days ago could be it. But the TV channels are starting to become apps. Not all TV channels will want that to happen. And at least in the States, they're tying your ability to use the app to your cable account.
Okay.
So if you don't have a cable account, you can't watch ESPN on Apple TV. Well. But if you do, you can. So that way, they're kind of locking you in to the, you know, one price, buy everything model rather than a la carte, which most of us would prefer, where we only buy the programs they actually want to watch.
Yeah, true. Okay. Anything else, Keith, you want to mention?
About the Apple TV or the other stuff?
Other stuff, whatever, the other stories.
You know, the smartwatches are a bit of a conundrum to me. I mean, it feels as if these things are taking some of the functionality of a smartphone and putting it on your wrist. And most of the time, that's more convenient if you're on your own. But if you're in a meeting or something, I don't know about you guys, but I hate looking at my wrist when I'm in a meeting because it makes the other person think I want to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that at a human sociological level, a wrist-based display really adds a whole lot, unless they can incorporate the phone into it as well. So you can literally get rid of the phone,
right,
and you only have the wrist-based thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of a similar opinion to what I've shared for a while. I don't think there's enough real estate on your wrist to actually get through the information. And if all they're going to do is say, hey, you've got a new Facebook notification, it's really not giving me a great enough service for what I think I would need. You know, at a point in time where we've got a little hologram that pops out and gives you a full iPad size platform, then okay, yeah, great. It'll be fantastic. But we might be a few years away from that. I'm not a huge fan of the smartwatch. I'll probably give it a go and have a look, but I think they're just looking for where they need to go next, and I guess trying not to miss something.
Yeah, I agree with you, Andrew. I'm not a fan of the watch either, mate. I'm happy with the iPhone 5S. Did you catch any of the Google I/O at all, Andrew?
No, I didn't. I read up a little bit about it, and it's interesting. I mean, it sounds like they pretty much want to be everywhere. You know, they've got a hand in everything now. Obviously, taking over Nest, and now recently with Dropbox as well. It seems like they want a sensor for every part of your life. So when you say, you know, secure the house, they know exactly where you are, what you're doing. When you say, you know, when turn on the heater for when I get home, everything is under their guise. So it's almost, you know, we're almost putting ourselves into the Big Brother fundamental system nominally, you know, with our own consent. Mm-hmm. So it's quite an interesting space. And I see why they're doing it. And I understand that the context around it will be fantastic for some people. I know that Robert Scoble is really welcoming of those sorts of contextual things.
Mm.
But it's definitely a scary place where they're starting to lead us to.
Yeah, definitely. And also Google TV stuff looks pretty cool too, with the Chromecast. That's getting some new updates to it and stuff, and that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And all right, let's go to Penny. Penny, do you have any views on them stories at all?
No, probably the same with you guys. Like, just with the smartwatches, to me, it's just another device that you have to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I probably wouldn't be up for purchasing one of those.
Okay,
but yeah.
Cool. Okay, do you get much into technology, Penny? What sort of technology gadgets do you like to use, or favourite?
Ooh, I'm not very tech-savvy at all, to be completely honest. Okay. We run all Mac computers to do our editing.
Good on stuff.
Final Cut Pro.
Yeah.
And we use GoPros and things like
nice.
That. And but I could probably tell you how to cook a goetta better than walk you through the steps of using a smartwatch or something like that. So
we may yet get you to do that, Penny.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Steve. What about you, Steve?
Hey. Pretty much. They kind of mentioned everything I kind of wanted to cover.
Okay.
Of course, the use of smartwatches being tethered to phones doesn't seem like it really work out unless it's standalone. I know Keith here brought that up already.
Yeah.
And I didn't at the time I didn't know the Google I/O was going on, so I ended up jumping on, I think, a day or two late and catching as much as I could of that.
I was awake at 2 a.m. to watch it.
Yeah. I think they put it on YouTube, I think,
That's correct. It was live. You can actually watch it live on YouTube.
It was nearly a 3-hour keynote.
Yeah, 3 hours. You're unbelievable, wasn't it?
And it was really badly done. I mean, it was nothing like as slick as the Apple one.
Oh, definitely, mate. That Apple keynote is way better than the...
So the big question, Brad, is how did you not fall asleep at 2 a.m.?
I didn't fall asleep, mate. It was quite interesting to watch it, you know. But there was no Google Plus update, though, Andrew, for the website. There was no...
Yeah,
what they were doing with that, because I watched the whole thing.
What's your view on it, Jacob? What did you think of it?
Well, for one thing, to go with this iWatch story, I probably wouldn't watch that because I got a pretty good watch right here. What I need, I don't even have a phone. Like, if you don't have a phone, but you have the watch, but would still work with a different phone.
No, you got to have the phone. It's like a parent-child relationship. You know, the watch is the child of the phone and can only show things the phone sends to it.
Mm. Yeah.
Next 7.
Would all right. Work? Anything else you want to say, Jacob?
I was just watching, listening to you guys talk about the Apple TV.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good, but they're still missing one channel.
What's that?
Amazon for Prime, Prime Video.
Yeah, we're missing a lot of stuff over here too on Apple TV as well.
Like, so did Amazon ship the Amazon Fire TV in Australia?
No, it hasn't yet. No.
I got one here, and it's actually pretty good. In a lot of ways, it's better than the Apple TV, except it doesn't fit into the Apple ecosystem, so you end up not using it.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
If it's not Apple...
That's one of those articles we talked about where we're really getting locked into an ecosystem.
Exactly.
Now.
If it's not Apple, I won't use it. Go ahead, Keith. You want to introduce Keith?
I was just going to say, Keith, I believe today is quite a special day for you guys. You have Chat Center is now available in the App Store.
Chat Center is available in the App Store and on the web, actually. So we did a couple of things. We gave it to Apple about 2 weeks ago. They approved it last night, and we released it today. So you worldwide. So you can go into the App Store in any country in the world and download Chat Center. We also updated the chatcenter.me website, so that you can go and claim your name. And for Penny, the idea here, Penny, is that everyone goes and gets a chat name. Like you could get the name for your TV show.
Okay.
And then anyone who types that name into a browser can chat live with you. And on your phone, you install a little app called Chat Center, and it sends you alerts and notifications when people want to chat with you.
Okay.
So it's really good it's very good for marketing because the name is your brand.
Absolutely.
And it has a chat back end to it so you can engage with your audience really, really well. So there's a big commercial side to Chat Center, but there's also a personal side. You know, up until now, if people wanted to chat with me, they'd have to figure out which chat app I use.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I use WhatsApp or WeChat or iMessage or whatever. And they'd need to know my identity inside that app. So with Chat Center, all they need is chatcenter.me/Keith. They can type that anywhere into any app that can take, you know, just a normal link. And they'll be chatting with me without needing to know what app I'm running or anything.
No, that's fantastic.
So that's live now. And we really want to try to change the chat experience so that chat is about a person or a company or a brand and their name and not about which app they're running.
Yeah, and I find that very, very interesting because I obviously like to, link up with the people that watch my show and just try and personalize it a bit more. So that would be very interesting for me, yeah.
Mm. Definitely. So, Keith, what's the future of your new app? What's going to happen next?
Well, a lot of things have to happen. I mean, the first thing is we raise some money for it. So we've got about a year and a half's worth of runway to evolve the app.
Okay.
Right now, it just does one-to-one chat. We want to introduce group chat. That's a feature that everybody so far has asked for. We have about 5,000 testers who've been using it up until today, and they all want group chat. So that's on the roadmap. We want it to be possible for small businesses to get their name. You can imagine every restaurant has a name and you can just chat with them to book a table and stuff like that. So we've got a whole commercial name rollout to come. We also want to make it work on Android. It's iOS only and web only right now. You can go and get a chat name if you don't have an iPhone, and it will work. You'll get emails when people try to chat with you, and you'll click on a link and you'll be in a chat with them on a web page.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be on your mobile phone or on a desktop. It doesn't really matter. But we need a native Android app. So that's on the roadmap. And we're going to take it one step at a time. It's sometimes the case you launch an app and you kind of do a whole bunch of PR and you overhype it and you try to drive growth real fast. We think the idea behind this is so good and compelling that we should just take it one step at a time and not push it faster than it goes naturally. And it'll be a good test. You know, if guys like you don't take a name and put it on your blogs and on your podcasts, then that means we've done something wrong. Because this should be really great for you as a way of both branding and engaging with your audience.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll definitely try it out, won't we, Andrew, next week? And
absolutely. And as you said before, Keith, I guess the big challenge to date is, you know, there's some really good chat products out there, but when you want to engage with someone, is it on, you know, iMessage? Is it on email? Is it on, you know, GroupMe? What this does is this removes that application in the middle, and it means that if anyone listening wants to talk to me, chatcenter.me/Andrew. It's that simple. You bolt that into a browser and we're talking. So there's no needing to sign up to sort of, you know, a product that I may not have. If I'm not using, you know, WhatsApp, for example, I don't need to go and create a new account, run that in the background, do all of those sorts of things. It just gives me that flexibility to have a really simple, clean interface and a conversation, which I think for fans and those sorts of things, you know, as you touched on, Keith, restaurants, things like that, I think it's a massive win for those sorts of places which want to have a really easy, casual conversation. And Keith's showing up the for the people viewing, showing the screen at the moment. So I think it's a really big win for those sorts of inferences.
I was going to show you. This is my email signature. I don't know if you show screens on the show, but
yeah,
if you
do.
This is my email signature. So right at the bottom of my email, I said chat instantly with me at chatcenter.me/Keith. And that just means that anyone who I send an email to has a way of getting back to me right away, not waiting for an email back and forth. And I think things like that is what we want to happen.
Oh, yeah, Devin, that's a great idea. I think it's, yeah, that's a really cool.
Another thing is it's on the desktop, it's, you know, not operating system dependent. It's as long as you have a web browser, you know, you can gain access to Chat Central.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that kind of goes back to the point about the ecosystems. There's a philosophical thing going on here. It's a bit technical, but I think it makes sense. What we want to do is try to build services in the cloud that, that, if you like, glue together Android users and iPhone users into a single ecosystem that bridges the two. And Mark Zuckerberg talked about this at F8, the Facebook conference, where he said Facebook wants to do this. But I'm not convinced Facebook's in a good position to do it because they're such a walled garden. It's hard for them to masquerade as being an open architecture. But Chat Center really is an open cloud-based architecture that sits on the web and iOS and soon Android. That means that it really doesn't matter whether your friends are on Android or iOS or not on either, just sitting on a desktop with a browser, they can all be equal participants. And, you know, that feels to me like a big opportunity for a lot of companies as Google and Apple build out their, if you like, separate ecosystems. There's a big need for glue between the two.
So what you're sort of saying there is moving forward as well, I believe you're going to give the flexibility for people like developers and so forth to actually have like an API, I guess, or an SDK that they can work with so that they can also integrate this to make it really easy without having to go through the rigors of creating your own, you know, chat platform and, you know, running sockets and all those sorts of painful things to get that running.
That's exactly right. We our goal is to make it so any app that wants to have chat can just plug into the Chat Center name system, and anyone who wants to chat with you will be able to chat with you inside that app, whatever app you happen to be in that supports Chat Center. We ourselves will not want necessarily to own the chat experience. It's absolutely fine for other apps to own that. What we really want to do is create the namespace and the glue between everyone.
Very good. So there you go, guys.
Yep.
And where can we get that from, Keith?
It's in the App Store. You just search for Chat Center and it'll come up on every App Store in the world, on iTunes or on the web. And it's iOS only. Or if you don't have iOS, go to chatcenter.me, claim your name. And then later when we support your platform, that name will be yours. You'll own it and you'll be able to activate it on your phone.
Definitely. Keith, what about a Mac app? Is there going to be a Mac app coming anytime in the future or...?
Yes, there will be. There'll be Mac, and we want to build Chat Center for every environment.
Yeah, nice.
So there'll be a Chrome app. There'll probably be a Safari app. There'll probably be an iOS extension using iOS 8 that lets other apps plug into it.
All right. Sounds good. What do you think, Steve? Do you like it?
Actually, it sounds interesting. I didn't realize it was going to go so in-depth. It looks like it's going to cover everything, which is kind of nice because a lot of times there's certain things, you know, usually, I mean, you can do it through a web browser. A lot of times I'd rather do it on the desktop.
Yeah, same.
So now I have an option to do that where, you know, I don't necessarily even have to have a web browser open. Of course, it's good to be on the web browser first to cover all the different platforms and then hopefully in the future build it for the separate operating systems or whatever.
All right, nice one. Hey, Keith, is it still Dell up there, is it, where you are?
Is it what?
Is it still Dell up there?
Sun's is it out. Still what?
Daylight. The sun's out
oh,
there.
Oh, daylight. Yeah, the sun is actually just coming down on the horizon and it's shining right in my window. So wow. You can see my face is completely... I'm squinting so I can still see you guys.
That's cool. That's cool. That's good. Okay. That's good. Good stuff. Penny, any questions for Keith about Chat Center, or are you going to check out the app?
No, I just think it sounds like a really, really cool concept. And yeah, wait till they're ready with Mac. Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Keith, you going to hang around for me, or do you need to go, mate?
I need to go in about 10 minutes. So if you want to, I can go now if it makes sense, or I can wait.
Oh, you can hang around. Yeah, go ahead, Jacob. What do you want to say?
I said, at least you're not on fire.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, we've got Penny Wells on, Andrew, from the TV show Top Down Under.
Absolutely. Penny Wells from Top of Down Under.
Top Down Under.
So Discover Oz Productions.
Yes.
Fantastic to have you on the show today, Penny.
Oh, I don't know. Thanks to all the tech webcast team for having me on.
Tell us about the show, Penny. It's on Foxtel, and how long has it been running for?
Okay, so we're just about to film our fourth series. So we've already had three series run on Aurora Channel 183 on Foxtel.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gearing up to go again. And, yeah, we've had a fantastic response. Everyone's pretty keen to see a bit more footage, so we'll oblige. And, yeah.
Nice. What made you put the show on Foxtel? Did they come to you or?
They did, actually. It's a bit of a long story how we got started. But basically we made a hour and a half DVD. Somehow Foxtel got a copy of that. They came back to us and asked us if we could cut it down to 24, 30-minute segments.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's just that was four episodes, I think, that first one run for.
Nice.
And, they just wanted more and more. So each time we do more episodes, we're up to 12, so 3 months on TV at a time.
Good stuff. Is it going to be coming on to the community channels on the free-to-air? Channel 44
We're on C31 down in Melbourne.
Okay.
Brisbane 31 up here and Adelaide 44. And we're also on the Triangle TV networks over in New Zealand as well.
Oh, nice. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. If you've got a question, go ahead, Jacob.
Well, I watch it in the US through Channel 31.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. I watch a lot of shows that come from Australia there, but most websites I can't have access to. But channel C31, I can access your the live video and stuff.
Oh, okay, fantastic! That's great to hear, Jacob. Thanks for watching.
Good stuff, Jacob. Good on you, man.
Brad got me into it.
I did.
Did he?
Okay, thanks, man. I did get you in. Okay, Steve. Any questions?
Now, of course, you have your regular show, but are you originally a production company, video production company?
No, not originally, no. No, we've sort of been learning on the run. So, yeah, it's a bit of a long story how it all started. But, yeah, I guess in a way because we are self-taught, I guess you do things a little bit differently. And sometimes you come up with, just something that's out of the box that others perhaps if you'd been trained in the field may not do it that way. So it seems to be, I mean, the formula seems to be working at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Keith, any questions?
You know, I just wonder in regards to distribution, how you guys think about the internet versus broadcast. And obviously broadcast, they pay you and it's a captured audience, but does it feel as if you're going to do both, or how do you think about it?
Yeah, no, I think my partner Brian, he takes care of that side of things, but definitely internet, you know, the way things are going, I think that's definitely something that we're going to have a look at. We did look at a few ideas a couple of years ago, and we're probably about ready to revisit it again.
Okay. Andrew, any questions?
Yeah, so obviously just looking at the gallery, you guys get to some incredible places around Australia. Tell us a little bit about the experience, not so much from a TV perspective, but from a live perspective of actually going to some of these really interesting places. And I guess what's some of the most interesting things that have happened, and where have you managed to get yourself stuck along the way on the road?
Great question, Andrew. I feel so lucky to go to the places that we do get to go to, obviously, because we are a film crew, we can go to some places that are a little bit hard to access generally. But probably a couple of highlights from the Northern Territory. There's a place just out of Cape Crawford called Poppy's Pools, and it's basically a thermal waterfall. It's about probably 30 degrees in temperature. And, yeah, it's an emerald green plunge pool where you have to canoe up through this really amazing rock faces, just bright oranges and the pandanus palms as you're paddling through. You drag your canoe up onto one level and then you walk up and it just opens up to this amazing plunge pool, and it's wow. thermal with a waterfall just dropping into it. It's absolutely beautiful. Wow. And it's nothing to, and just the wildlife that we get to see as well. We get up close to a few crocodiles and things.
Wow.
And actually, we did a bit of trapping with the Northern Territory Parks guys last year. And to actually, you know, go up and physically touch a crocodile, it's just incredible how soft their skin is on their belly. And, yeah, just a magnificent creature to be able to get that close. It's very special.
Were you scared?
No, because it was tied up and pumped full of Valium.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so it wasn't moving. So,
my grandmother.
Whoa. So,
traveling
around the country, very, very lucky, and appreciate every day that I'm on the road just soaking up the sights and the people that we meet, just the characters that I don't forget them, and we keep in touch with a lot of people we meet on the road. So, yeah, very, very lucky.
What's your favourite place you've visited so far, Penny?
There's quite a few to choose from. But Poppy's Pools was up there last time we went. Wigram Island was nice. That was up in the Gulf Country.
Okay.
That's an Aboriginally owned island, traditionally owned. And, just beautiful. You're the only ones on the island. There's a camp set up there, very remote, and the fishing is just amazing. It's just to die for. And the owner of the boat, he actually has pet sharks that he taps on at the bottom of the boat and they come up for their feed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh,
damn.
And, so that was a special spot.
That's very cool.
So you'd eat a lot of, obviously, the fish and potentially animals and things like that. So is that sort of getting back to nature a bit, I guess, you know, creating a campfire and, I guess, eating what you catch to some extent?
Yeah, it's very rewarding, to actually go and catch the bait and then get the fish. And, it's very exciting, obviously, reeling it in. And then taking it home and just making an amazing recipe with some herbs and a bit of butter and that. Yeah, it's awesome. And then just making everyone else jealous in the camps. Yeah, I love that part.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Has anybody got hurt or bitten by any animal during the filming?
Last series that we filmed, I actually showed everyone how not to catch a barramundi. I picked the fish up incorrectly and it shook its head and it flicked the lure out of its mouth. So I got two treble hooks in my fingers, which pinned them together.
Oh, God.
And then Jody was trying to help me. She was pulling the fishing rod off me with my fingers still attached.
Oh, no.
And then I didn't want to lose the fish, obviously, so I pinned it down with my knee. And in doing that, the barramundi have a really sharp gill rake. And that actually sliced my leg up, and it was really quite deep. Probably could have got stitches, but you're so remote, you've just got to harden up.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, interesting. Have you ever been to Byron Bay, Penny?
Years and years and years ago, yeah.
Are you going to be filming there anytime soon, or?
No, we're heading up north. We're going the opposite direction this time.
Okay, cool. Where are you off to? What part of, what are you going to, where are you on to?
It'll be up towards the tip of Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Nice one. See what we can find up there.
Good stuff. Keith, any more questions before you go?
No, this sounds fascinating. Sounds great. Now, I'm good. My business partner is in Byron Bay, and I may end up going there soon. So I'll check out your show if I come to Australia.
Sounds great, Keith.
Yeah, good on you, Keith.
See you guys.
Thanks, Keith.
Catch you later, Keith.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Andrew, any more questions?
Yeah, so Penny, tell us about, you said that it was a smaller production and then you got this opportunity through Foxtel. Mm-hmm. What did that do for you guys, I guess almost from a business and a technological point of view? Did you have to then increase the people who are involved, and did you go and get some more equipment? And what kind of equipment do you guys use at the moment? You spoke briefly that you use MacBooks for everything as you go.
Yeah, so basically when that happened, when we were approached by Foxtel, we still have a really small crew. We like to keep it that way. We do most things in-house. We do hire out a studio to do our voiceover, but everything else, all the editing, colour correction, we use the Macs with the Final Cut Pro. I think Brian has just updated to the most recent version of Final Cut, which is getting the hang of.
Nice.
Yes. But still, no, we still keep a smaller crew. Like when we're on the road, we have five people with us. It's just a lot easier to get into different locations. The more vehicles you have, the more logistics you have, the more vehicles you have to maintain in remote areas. And back home here when we're editing in our studio, it's still, all done practically in-house by my better half, Brian.
Okay. How many people work on the show, Penny?
It's at probably about seven all up.
Seven people, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just been to come back from Melbourne.
Yeah, we had a great show down in Melbourne. We were at the four-wheel drive show down there, so it's great to meet up with people who watch the show. And, it's awesome to get their feedback, and they tell me the bits that they like and what they'd like to see. So now we have a blast at those shows. It's quite tiring talking to heaps of people, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. And Steve, any questions?
I do.
Jacob?
Go ahead, Jacob.
Well, all I was wanting to ask is how do you stay connected? Like, what devices do you use, like, when you're out there?
Like
phones and stuff like that.
Yeah, basically, so we've got like a sat phone when we're really remote, and whenever we come into smaller towns that have service, we'll just link up then, check the emails, that kind of thing, and do all we have to do while we've got service, and then hope everything's all good till we get to the next town.
Okay. And how long does it take you to record an episode of the show?
Basically, we work on 1 hour of footage that we shoot will be 1 minute finished product in an episode.
Oh, okay.
So last time, I can't remember how many hours we spent in producing the whole. What do we got? Just try and edit up for you. So it's
1,700 hours total.
Yeah, Brian just said they're about 1,700 hours in total to produce 12 episodes.
Okay. Nice one. And what is Brian doing? Welcome, Brian. I'm sure we could get your voice on into the show too, if you want to come in and have a chat.
Yeah, no, he's here right beside me.
Okay.
You
want to say hello?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Brian. Hey, how Brian. Are you?
Doing well, mate. Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
We're just talking about how many hours it takes to put the show together.
Yeah, there's a fair few man hours go into to actually make even just one episode.
Okay.
Yeah, rough cut will take you about, usually I can rough cut out in a week with two editors, and then final cut's probably another week to 2 weeks after that. That's post-production.
Okay.
Depending on what you're filming on the road, some episodes might take a week to film. It really depends on the topic. Sometimes we get lucky and we can film an episode in 2 days if the content's coming quick and fast. But generally, we will allow 8 weeks to film 12 episodes this next season.
Okay, nice one.
Yeah, mate.
And because it's a big job, is it, Brian?
It's a lot of slogging to do a lot of hard slogging to get a finished product. But when you see the finished product, you sit back and you go, if you can sit back and say, I enjoy watching what I just created, you love it then.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Andrew, any questions?
Just a little on any advice for other people who might have a similar sort of thing where they're creating content out there, really interesting stuff, who are trying to get into the industry, I guess, production. Any advice for them how they might get their own Foxtel as well to start to move their content?
Probably the best thing, once you've got something that you think is pretty good, start knocking on doors. You just never know where the door's going to open up. Send a sample of your work around the countryside. All the networks will take screeners to have a look at what you're doing. Mm. Unless you physically take it to the people, they don't necessarily sit there online looking for days on end trying to find a new program, new show. You've got to knock on their door. There's and basically most of the TV stations around Australia we're showing on now, we've contacted them and said, look, this is on Foxtel. Are you interested? And you might get some knockbacks, but at the end of the day, you keep knocking and keep trying, and then all of a sudden, you usually get a bit of feedback when you do submit something, why they wouldn't take it. Take that feedback, work on it, improve your product, and the doors will open.
Definitely. What's your view on Foxtel, Brian? Do you love Foxtel, or do you watch it much TV?
Perfectly honest with you, I spend most of my time making TV. I don't really want to sit down and watch it.
That was a dumb question.
It's kind of like bringing your work home.
Yeah, definitely, mate. But it's cool to have Foxtel, though, isn't it? It's good to have it on there and stuff and to show.
Yeah, look, we don't have free to air. We live in the bush. We don't get free to air. So we rely on Ozstar for pretty much any of our TV entertainment.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So you get a chuckle when you're channel flicking and you see the show come on?
yeah, it's kind of funny because Penn can be beside me and be behind me at the same time.
Wow.
It's good stuff, mate. It's good.
Very good. Yeah. Now, we really hope you guys do really well, and the show's fantastic. And as Jacob said earlier, he's over in the States and he watches it through Channel 31 here. So it's a really fantastic piece of content, and we know people all around the world love it.
Yeah, definitely. So Penny, with the newest season coming up, was that going to be shown just on Foxtel, or was it going to be shown on the other community stations?
No, it'll go on the other community stations as well.
Okay.
We'll obviously try to expand on those too. Okay. We're always working, as Brian says, keep knocking on those doors.
Yeah, definitely. So if you haven't got Fox, so you can watch it on the Channel 31 and the other ones, around.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I think last count we're on about 9 channels at the moment.
Nice one. Good stuff. Steve, any questions?
Oh, yeah, I got one more. How do you get your – since you're – I'm guessing you're on the road a lot, so how do you get your – once you film it in the media, do you send it out to your shop or studio to be edited, to be shown, or how do you guys do that? Do you do it all on site and then send it out, or?
No, what we do generally on the road, we'll download our footage on the road. So we still predominantly shoot to tape, but we'll download and ingest on the road every night. We run the little Mac laptops for that.
Catalog what we've got.
Yeah, well, we've got a person that comes with us who simply catalogs, looks through, checks that we've got the footage. If we need to refilm anything, it's good to know straight away that something didn't work or the sound quality wasn't high enough. But generally, we'll catalog everything, get home, and then I'll spend probably the next 3 to 4 months editing it out.
Wow, big job, Brian.
I was going to say, do you have times where something hasn't worked and you've sort of packed up for the night and you think you're on the road in the morning, but you've got to hang around for another day and do it again?
We've had to backtrack a couple of times. Yeah, we had one shot that comes to mind last year. We had to rebook a helicopter for basically a 4-second shot. We had that wasn't a cheap one to go back and get again. Helicopters cost $880 an hour. So.
Wow.
Yeah, but other than that, we've had to in the past. Yes, sometimes you think you've had something that links stages of the episodes together, and you've got home and it simply hasn't worked the way that you thought it would fall into the storyline on the road. and Penny's had to go out and find another spot that looks relatively similar to where we were filming and reshoot it. Yeah, that's the magic of TV, but
exactly the magic of television. So we can sit back and, you know, watch 22 minutes with a beer in our hands and pretend it all happened that easily.
Exactly. And also, I just want to mention, Andrew, we may be getting a tour of Channel 9 too, very soon too, from Peter. We got a
message.
Yeah, that's
right, from Peter Hitchener. So that could be quite exciting to have a look at the newsroom there and see how they do things.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And, shout out to Peter from Channel 9 for hooking that up for us. And, we'll be talking about that on the show soon.
Absolutely.
And what else can you tell us about the show, Penny?
Basically, we're a little bit different to the other shows because it's the girls having a go.
Okay.
And I've just recently purchased a new vehicle. I've got a 79 series dual cab cruiser.
Nice.
It's just been all kitted up, so I'm pretty excited about that. And we've just done a engine conversion in our other Nissan Patrol that we use.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just about to build a boat trailer because I've got a bigger size boat because the crocodiles seem to be getting a bit keener coming on board.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have they ever tried to bite into the boat?
No, we haven't experienced that, but we're obviously quite close to them when we're working in the creeks and the rivers. We're always very mindful. I don't ever lean over and wash my hands out of the boat. I'll bring a lower bucket down and wash my hands that way. So, yeah, always very, very conscious, very careful.
Okay. And what sort of animals have you seen on some of the places you've been to?
We've seen like buffalo with their little babies.
You saw an albino buffalo last year.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty special.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, heaps of the general stuff, you know, like your dingoes, kangaroos, wallabies, heaps of snakes. Lots of snakes.
What sort of snakes have you seen?
Black-headed python, they're one of my favourite.
Night tiger last year. We actually had to double-check that because we'd never seen one before.
Oh, wow.
It was in one of the episodes.
It's like a creamy-coloured snake with brown chocolatey stripes all the way along, and beautiful, beautiful snake. But he
wasn't real happy with us. But
he was trying to escape a bushfire, the poor thing.
Brown snake. Crawl up behind you last year.
That's right. Yeah, we were sitting on the path in a national park and it was just on dusk and me and Brian were just talking after the day's filming and I just had this weird feeling and I said to Brian, give me the torch and I spun around and there was, a brown snake heading straight for us. I don't know, perhaps he could feel our heat. I don't know. I'm just like, whoa, that was close.
Wow.
so you must have some kind of first aid kit on with you.
Yeah,
carry three. Yeah, wow. I've got a remote pack, a general one for cuts and bruises, and another one with your cough medicines or your painkillers or that kind of thing.
Have you ever been bitten by a snake before, Penny or Brian?
Brian has, yes.
I grabbed the wrong end of one once.
Oh, wow.
You only do it once. Yeah, pushes the body in pretty quick.
Yeah. And what about you, Andrew? You've been up in the bush before. What about you? Have you met snakes in that? Have you been bitten by any snakes?
I have never been bitten by snakes, but I've certainly met a few of them. And I don't know, it's interesting because I think the advice you get for snakes is sort of, you know, stand there and don't run and all these sorts of things. But I've probably met a handful, and each time the situation is different based on exactly where you are and where they are and what's happening at the time. So I don't think there's any textbook for what you do when you meet with a snake. It's all sort of however it plays out.
Yeah, exactly. And Brian, what part of Queensland do you live in?
Oh, I'm near the Sunny Coast.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, we're bush hinterland of the Sunny Coast, basically. We're out of the city, out of the hustle and bustle, and still got a few acres around us here.
Oh, nice. Do you ride motorbikes?
I used to, but I broke a couple of arms, so I sold my motorbike.
Oh, really? Oh, that's not good.
Penny still rides the motorbike, but I'm delegated to a quad bike these days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Penny has all the fun.
Good stuff. What's it like, Penny? Is it good fun, is it, Penny?
Riding a bike, I love it. Yeah, we've got some crazy tracks out here. We live on the edge of forestry, and it's quite hairy going down some of the hills.
Nice.
I just close my eyes and hope for the best.
Sounds fun. I'm sure Gus will be like that, Andrew. I know Gus was in last week. He's into that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's quite an adventurer, is Gus. He takes part in all of sort of the X Games and things like that, coming obviously from his Oakley days as marketing for them. So, yep, he enjoys it all.
Good stuff. All right, Penny, where can they get hold of you if they want to send you a message or then check out the show?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can grab me on Facebook. I'm always on there.
Yep.
Or if you go to discoveroddsproductions.com, our DVDs are available there too.
All right. And how much are the DVDs?
They vary in price. Brian, what's the price?
The whole series, I think all three series, we've got a special on at the moment. I think from memory, it's about $80.
Okay.
Yeah, for
what's that? That's very reasonable.
Yeah, we've got six DVDs worth for $80. So.
Yeah. Now, one thing I just want to mention to Foxtel, I hope you listen to this, but they do have a catch-up service on the IQ box, and they don't add your show on there, Aurora. They don't.
No, the Foxtel with Aurora, they don't let you series link.
No, that's bizarre. Why is that? Do you know why? Or
basically, it's a numbers game. This time around, this actually Penny's show was the first for Aurora to be able to be watched on demand before it started.
Wow.
So, which was the first show for Aurora, hands down. And they were pretty excited about that one of their shows they thought was going to rate or did rate high enough to pick up that service. So it basically just goes on ratings. I think we'll see that in the future.
That would come in handy because I use that feature a lot sometimes and comes in handy.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're sort of pushing for all the extra features that the other channels get. Obviously, they're looking at ratings and go, well, we'll supply that when the ratings are high enough, but these days our ratings are getting there, so we're looking forward to that next season.
All right, we'll have to wait and see. Absolutely. Okay,
and I'm looking forward to buying the DVD set. My stepmom and her partner are big four-wheel drivers, so they will absolutely love it.
Oh yeah, Bev, yeah, she would love, wouldn't she, Bev?
No, Christy's parents.
Oh, Christy. Genevieve. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Big four-wheel drivers. Oh, good on them. Nick. So good on them. They enjoy all of this sort of stuff. They were really excited today that we had you guys on the show.
Because I actually seen your video of Bev buying a camper van, Andrew, with the Fox on it.
Yeah, they did. They went looking for camper vans. They want to do the Australian tour.
That's cool.
Good on them. Yeah, absolutely exciting.
So did they buy one or not?
I don't think they have yet. They're just sort of having a wander around, having a look through the market, seeing what's there.
All right, good stuff, Penny and Brian. Thanks for being on, guys, and check out the show. What time and days is it on for the Foxtel people?
Now at the moment they're on Wednesday nights.
Yep.
I think it's 7 o'clock. We've just come off our premiere run, so now it's just a repeat time slot.
Nice one.
Yeah, I believe that's on a Wednesday night anyway.
Okay. Do you sell any? Do you sell t-shirts? Top of down under t-shirts.
Penny's got this dream for merchandise, and I think it's going to be something definitely on the cards. We're getting asked a lot for it nowadays.
Right, yeah. I want a t-shirt. People will love a t-shirt. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
We'll sort it out for you, Brian.
Thank you, Penny. And where can I? Are you on Twitter at all, Penny or Brian?
No, mate. We it's a full time job to take care of Penny's Facebook and. Okay. So at the moment, that's predominantly where people can contact her.
All right, good stuff, mate, good stuff. All right, Andrew, where can they get hold of you, mate?
Yeah, you can get me on the Zarfo app, /@Andrew. You can also get me at chatcenter.me/Andrew and on Facebook and Twitter as Cunning Drew.
Yeah, that chat center app will come in handy for Zarfo maybe.
Yeah, support. Quite possibly. You know, we'll see, but we're looking forward to working with them when they have their SDK stuff ready to go.
Yep, and also I forgot to ask you, your final view of the show, what was your best part of the show?
It's been fantastic. Always love having Keith on, and Penny and Brian, it's been lovely to meet you guys and hear all about what you guys do out there, you know, in the open world. I mean, we've got all our tech toys and gadgets and things like that, but, you know, to hear what you guys do and getting up to the adventures and things like that, it's really refreshing to sort of take that on board as well, and it's been fantastic to have you on the show.
Oh, cheers. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks,
yeah, definitely.
Guys.
Well said, Andrew. Thank you, Penny and Brian. Steve, what's your final view of the show, and where can they get hold of you?
Actually, I like Keith here coming on and telling us about some of the future updates, which is very interesting to me. And, of course, having them here with their show, I thought that was because I'm also a little bit into video production myself.
Yep. Yep, yep.
So you can also you can get me at chatterbox_live on Twitter, and of course justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude, and also on the techwebcast.info if you want to see the live version of the Tech Webcast.
Exactly, it'll be on my YouTube channel. You can watch it there every week, and also on iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher Radio. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and at Tech Webcast. Jacob Jones, what's your final view on the show? And we're going to get hold of you.
I had one more question.
Go ahead, mate.
Well, I'm here in the States. Would I be able to buy the DVDs somehow?
Yeah, mate. Hit Penny's website, discoveroz.com. We ship across to the States. The only thing will be that it's in PAL format, which will play on Blu-ray for you.
Okay, so it's in Blu-ray, is it, as well?
It's in PAL format, which not NSTC for what's standard in the States. Oh, okay. So most Blu-ray players will play PAL, or your sweet laptop will play PAL.
Can people download the show? Like, can they actually buy the episode and download it, or is that...
Not yet, guys. We're working with another company to try and get it up and running for that side of things. Okay. But it's a future plan still.
Yeah, definitely. That would be good. What else, Andrew? Is that it?
I think that's it. I think that's a wrap. So... been a fantastic show. It's been great to have guys on today and to run through the adventures that you get up to. So you know, we look forward to having you on again next time, and we'll definitely keep an eye out for the show on Foxtel.
Definitely good show on Foxtel. And also Andrew, next time we'll see Andrew, he will have a stand on his table.
I will have a mic stand.
Jacob, did you mention your Twitter address?
No, I didn't.
Go ahead.
Follow me at jazzbot326691z.
All right, good stuff. And here's the new outro, Andrew. Enjoy. See you next week.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech webcast. Ha, ha. Tech webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer!